1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Aren't we starting the show with the same bumper every time? That's the same. What song is that? I've grown very weary of it. I don't like it. Yeah, if you wouldn't mind. It's okay. You do a great job, Craig. Just get rid of that, please. And this bird CD that you bought for me? It ain't too good. Nah, it's okay. It's live. Live CDs, live albums, live anything. Anything live, including me, sucks. I'm better on tape, don't you think? Have we got any flashbacks we can run tonight? Don't you think this is a pretty... The Birds, you probably don't know who they are. That's okay. I'm just an old bum. You know, I'm just an old man sitting here and luxuriating in all my old music. But these guys were around a number of years ago. Roger McGuinn, and then he changed his name to Jim. Or was it Jim McGuinn, and he changed his name to Roger? What was that about? I don't know. I guess he thought Roger sounded more Hillary Swank. Now, here is Mr. Tambourine Man done live. Listen to how truly bad this is. It ain't no good. And so live albums really suck, and we need to avoid them as best we can. Why did anybody ever buy a live version of anything? Especially when they were sweetening things. Back in the 70s, they'd sweeten it. I got a hold of something. You want to talk about some real mung. I got a hold of a Bachman Turner Overdrive live album. Hoo boy. And they sweetened this thing. Not bad music, I guess. But you could hear where the guy was potting the crowd noise up and down. How do I know? Because I used to work for, how do I say this? I used to work for a company that did live concert recording, and I'd watch the guys drop the crowd noise in after the show was over in the truck outside the concert hall. You'd go into the truck, and then you'd see them, okay, what are we going to do with this piece of crap? Because, boy, was it bad. Well, I don't know. Sometimes they bring the band members in to do some fill where a particular piece of instrumentation went right in the toilet. So they'd have to get the guy back in, out of the dressing room, out of the limousine, wherever the hell he was, and get him in there and do this right, will you? When you did it originally, it was... Of course, the guy's in no shape now because he's 6 bottles of champagne later, celebrating his, quote, great show, end quote. I was with a group once, I don't want to say who, but the lead singer went out and... I don't want to say who the group is, but they did a song called Waiting for a Girl Like You. And anyway, the lead singer... I don't want to say who they are, but Foreigner really was bad. So the lead singer had gone out and partied or whatever, and he sang this song called I've Been Waiting for a Girl, you know the song? For a Girl Like You, except he'd been out so late the night before, hadn't gotten his beauty rest, and it was, I've been waiting for a girl. He was really, there was a problem, and the road man, so they pennied him into his room. You know what pennying? You take pennies, you push the door a certain way, and you can put pennies in the crack of the door, in the little space between the door and the door jamb, and it makes it impossible to open the door. So you can't get out of your room. God forbid there should be a fire, or maybe let's hope for a fire, but in his case. But in any event, he couldn't get out. And the next night, they had the big show, and not that anybody's a real fan of that song, but he sang it pretty good. And then they had the choir. They did a song called I Wanna Know What Love Is. Well, every town they went to, they'd bus in black choir members. Or I don't know, maybe they didn't care, but most gospel choirs are black. I mean, the good ones. The white ones do a lot of that, well, I'm going on down it, I'm going on down. Whereas the black people got a little bit of rhythm. So they bus in all these fine elderly black women who had no concept. What is this? They're in a concert hall. There's 30,000 kids in goth shirts, 30,000 kids that look like Craig Taylor. They've got runes, you know, rune symbols on their T-shirts, some kind of dark makeup. Their parents just dropped them off. There's malt liquor and baggies of things, and they're underneath a tree outside the concert hall, and the police are cruising the area, and, you know, and here are these very nice people standing up there on a stage singing this song, I Want to Know What Love Is. I Want You to Show Me. And they're rocking back and forth, and they can't wait to get the hell out of there. With these odd-looking limeys and their music. Anyway, at exactly what point did Foreigner lose their balls, comes the question this afternoon from Shreveport, Louisiana. And what happened to Jukebox Hero? Well, I think the answer to that question is they never did have truly any balls. It was a thing called corporate rock, manufactured. Don't you remember? Of course you don't. They used to rock with what? Head Knocker? I like that song, Long, Long Way From Home, but, you know, that's... I'm a nice guy. You know, you just put anything on the turntable. I'll find something. Cold as Ice, Hot Blooded, all that stuff. Any one of those songs I could end my life to. Any one of those things could be the theme music to my eventual perish, just jumping from any window. Well, I'm hot blooded. Okay, open the window. Sound of window opening. Check it and see. So let's get rid of that bumper music. Let's get rid of that one. Just that one, okay? Let's. The key, and I've often said, the key to bumper music is it can't be music that anybody recognizes. Once it's a song that people know, then they want to hear the song. They don't want to hear me. But if it's a song they don't know, they go, oh, this is a song we don't know. Come on, Phil, talk. Then I talk. But if we start out with something that is beloved, like... They don't want to hear me. They want to hear this.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me.
They want to hear that. They don't want to hear me. By the way, a very nice guy interviewed me last week. I'd like to point up this very nice man from the Orange County Register interviewed me, and I think it's going to be syndicated throughout the Knight Ridder chain. It should be appearing in Thursday's Orange County Register in their show magazine section. And I thought it was a terrific interview. I was very happy to do this. And he asked me a question, and it bears, I think the answer bears a little repeating. He said, how come you never do any interviews with people? How come you don't like radio writers? How come you generally hate people in the ink press, you know, the people who write for newspapers? I said, I don't. I said, they can write anything they want. It's just been my experience that people who write for radio, radio columnists, are facile. They don't take the business serious. They don't write with any great depth or understanding. They have no real respect for what we do. They're all wannabes. They're all guys that wish they had their own shows, and they don't. They're all people that wish they were in the, at some level on the inside of their business, and they're not. I said, and they can do anything they want. They can write anything they want. They can be anything they want. I just don't have to help them do it. I would rather not, if you don't mind. I'd rather not be a part of them trivializing a business that I've given a lot of years of my life to. So he said, fair enough, and, you know, went on with the interview. But that was one that we did do and one that we really enjoyed doing because he was a terrific guy, and I can't remember his last name, Barry. Remember his name, Mike? Nice guy. And in any event, that'll be appearing Thursday. We hope that you will pick up the Orange County Register or whatever Knight Ridder newspaper carries it throughout the country and read about us and such as that is. And the Academy Awards last night was pretty good. Went off without too much of a hitch. Looked like it to me. It looked like everything went very smoothly. There was no obnoxious dance number. There wasn't any long, obnoxious speech. Everybody was very respectful and professional. Michael Caine was a riot. Billy Crystal was a hysterical. The guy could do it every year, but he wants to do it every year because he's great. He's funny. That opening montage, the film montage, you check it out, Craig? You see the thing with the, oh, geez. He's got Linda Blair laughing in The Exorcist. You know, she's all possessed, laying there laughing. He goes, oh, you like that? Here's another one. So he's telling her jokes, and he tells her a joke she doesn't like. So she, in the movie, you know how she shoots the pea soup? She vomits all over him because the jokes suck. Anyway, did a bunch of that, and he sang a song about Green Mile to the tune of Green Acres. And a bunch of, it was great. And all the right people won, I guess. I don't know. Who were you rooting for? Anybody? I was looking at Entertainment Weekly, and I just wanted to see who do they think would win and who actually won. Because these guys, the prognostication is always kind of cheesy. They had, for Best Actor, they figured it was going to be Kevin Spacey, and they were right. 5-2 odds they gave him. But then they blew it with everybody else. An actress, they thought Annette Bening would get it. It was actually Hilary Swank. Did you see this, Boys Don't Cry? Oh, you should go and see it and then have yourself a nice meal after. It's just uplifting as hell. Oh, God. Oh, God. I saw this movie Friday night with my wife. She says, let's meet after you get off the air and we'll go see Boys Don't Cry. I was playing over at the Westlake, so we went over. And I realized, watching the film, there's all kinds of people that maybe you don't want to spend much time with, but is there anything lower than poor white trash? Honest to God. Is there anything lower? Is there anything more threatening, more troubling, more uneasy? Is there any kind of people that make give you the creeps bigger than that white trailer trash? And that's what this movie was about. And here's this girl who thinks she's a guy, and she's living with this trailer trash, and she falls in love. She's at the wrong place at the wrong time, man. And this is a snapshot of Nebraska trash. Nebraska Trailer Trash. And the whole, there was nothing about the movie to make you, I mean, it was a good, great acting and everything. Nothing about the movie that would make you smile at all. At the end, she gets shot and killed. And the end. Dun, great. Thank you and get out. Then the lights come up. Mike says to me, thanks, I haven't seen it. You're going to have to understand something. I don't care. This show is not about let's keep the ending for everybody. She's shot and killed at the end, Mike. But you want to know what? I found out halfway through the movie. I go, good God, this is depressing. And my wife goes, wait till you see how it ends. She gets shot. I go, well, I guess that just about puts a capper on that. You want to know how it ends? I'm going to tell you, I don't give a crap. This poor girl who wants to be a guy is eventually elected to the PTA where she... No. Anyway, it's a very depressing movie. So naturally, we went and saw it, and I had to have a, like... It's the first time in my life I've walked out of a movie and needed a drink. I walked out of that thing, and I had to steady my nerves. So they got Hillary Swank at 2-1 odds. They had Annette Bening 3-2. Guess who won? Hillary Swank. Thank you very much. Now, Best Supporting Actor, they had that little Haley Joel Osment, that weird-looking little kid with a 5-2 shot, and Michael Caine up there with a 4-1. Guess who won? Michael Caine. So you put your money there. You get $4 to your $1 bet. You get $5, $2 bet. Haley Joel Osment. Gold, man. Sold American. And then the Best Supporting Actress, they thought Toni Collette would get it, but she didn't get it. Angelina Jolie, who everybody was making fun of because she's got the big, thick lips and the whole John Voight connection. And I thought she's fantastic, good actress. She had her goth thing going on last night. She's great. And then they have the Best Original Screenplay. I guess they gave that to American Beauty, which it did win. And, I thought that maybe Sixth Sense had a shot, but didn't happen. And Best Adapted Screenplay, Cider House Rules, and John Irving got up there, who I always thought was a guy who was disdainful of Hollywood, but he looked truly thrilled. And the Best Director was Sam Mendes, and that's the guy that they picked. So I think they did pretty good with the exception of those two. Oh, Best Picture. Guess who they thought was going to win Picture? You're right, American Beauty. They got that, too. There's a reason why I read this magazine. 1-800-449-8686. Well, I'm driving all right. My hands wet on the wheel. Okay. Phil Hendry Show. So what concert have you been to where the band was just horrible? You know, in other words, you spent your 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, I don't know, you know, until recently, like $150 for your seats. And it just was, oh. Like I told the guys during the break, I saw Steppenwolf, the Chambers Brothers, and the Doors. And the Steppenwolf came out, and the sound, and this was at the Hollywood Bowl. Now, what, I ask you, what venue could there be better sound than the Hollywood Bowl? The place was built for sound, wasn't it? It was built for acoustics. I mean, it's an outdoor theater, but it's got that big thing. Isn't that supposed to sound good? It projects the sound. So Steppenwolf comes out there with, get your highway! And the sound, it was just, the PA was cutting out every third word. Bad. Bad, 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 bad. But this thing I was telling you about with Foreigner in Austin, where they just stunk the joint out, and then they got to Dallas. I guess they were better. I don't know. They wound up recording the show for a broadcast, but you know, you spend I don't know how much money, and then you go and see the band, and they just stinking the joint up. It ain't like a movie. See, you know, a movie's going to be good no matter when you see it. People are going to tell you, well, you're going to see the movie. You're going to see exactly the same movie that I saw, and it's either good or it's bad. You get all excited all week long, especially my very good pal here, Mike Schaefer, who's a music freak. He would much rather be pulling records for Charlie Van Dyke than working this thing. And Mike, who'd you see, man? You would. You'd rather be back over at K-Earth. Who did you see? You'd rather be over there yanking records for Charlie. Yanking Charlie. Now, what was that show you went to see and it just stunk the joint out? You were really looking forward to it and the whole thing just was a complete and utter puerile piece of... Oh, Rush? Great. G3, Joe Satriani, Steve Vai, and who was that other band? That band member. Former member. Guy can't get a job. Thrown out of a band. Eric Burden? Oh, Eric Johnson, I'm kidding. I know, and you go in, and especially it's not the band's fault a lot of times when the acoustics in the hall, like there's an arena in Los Angeles, the Sports Arena. People who live in L.A. may know what I'm talking about if you've been to a show there. It was originally built for sports. Hello? Sports Arena. So it was basketball and hockey. But for some bright reason, they started doing shows there. Well, the sound in that place is horrible. It always has been. Same thing with the Forum. I went and saw Bruce Springsteen at the Sports Arena. And I was bleeding from the ears when I got out. I saw ZZ Top at the Forum. I didn't know which song was which. I think they were doing Legs, and I thought it was LaGrange. Do I want to take any calls on this, my producer? I don't know. Yeah, sure. As long as we're dissing millionaires, why not? Sure, let's take calls on this. It's fun to hear about bands paid top dollar, platinum, all that stuff, really stinking a joint out. I love that. You know, there's the end-all, be-all to the world. One of these real, like, Pink Floyd. Have you ever been to a Pink Floyd show where they just sucked on wheels? Never? I have. Oh, God. I saw them at the Sports Arena. You want to know why? Because of the sound again. Let's go back and do another show at the Sports Arena. Remember when we sounded, Reg, like cats being minced in a garbage disposal? Remember that night? Let's go back and do that show again. San Diego on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Hey, Phil.
God. You got to tell me the hall. Yeah, you too?
Oh, worst band ever to see them anyway. I mean,
wait a minute. You don't like the band.
I do like them. I like the earlier stuff, actually. Like October was real good.
Yeah.
I saw Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
You know, Edge with the
Joshua
guitar.
Tree tour was the one with In the Name of Love?
Yeah.
One Man in it. Yeah, okay.
No. That was Unforgettable Fire.
What was that? What was Joshua Tree?
Tree was With or Without You.
Okay, oh, jeez.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Edge, I love Edge's guitar. It's so big.
Right.
And seeing him live, I mean, it was just, it wasn't even, he didn't even, like, fake it. He couldn't even fake it to imitate it. I mean, there was just absent.
Was he drunk? Was he drunk? Seriously.
It had been.
I saw a band called, there was a band out called The Faces. They had Rod Stewart and they had Ronnie Lane, and they had a guy named Ron Wood, who's with the Rolling Stones now. Well, they didn't even make any, they made no bones about it. They had a bar on stage. So when they walk, you know, they'd walk over, right, it would be right back with another song. And they'd go over, they'd pour themselves like shots of whiskey. And I thought, okay, I appreciate the honesty.
Sure.
You know, at least, no wonder you stink.
And Rush is the best band to see live, by the way.
Yeah, Mike Schaefer tells me every single night of my life.
Yeah.
All right, man, thanks a lot. By the way, where was this rotten show?
This is in San Diego.
Oh, at the arena?
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's horrible there. Have they bulldozed that thing yet, or is that still sitting there out there?
It's still there, but they got Coors Amphitheater now, which is a lot better.
They've just renamed it, so now the sound's... Oh, I see,
no,
it's a different theater.
One down there.
All right, buddy.
Later.
Bye. So all you got to do is take a really rotten place to go see a show, rename it, and suddenly it sounds better. It's no longer the San Diego Arena. It's now the Coors Light Pit. And it sounds, oh, God, it's just great. And by the way, did you catch Phil Collins last night? He won the Grammy for Best Song. Was it Trey Parker who said, I don't care if I win, I just don't want to lose to Phil Collins? Guess what, Trey? You lost to Phil Collins, you big mouth. And Phil Collins, who is standing there in all of his Academy Awards glory, I remember seeing that guy when he's sitting behind a drum kit with Peter Gabriel mincing around the stage like a fruit down in Miami, Florida. Who would ever have thought that he'd be there, regal, in his purple, was that a purple suit he was wearing? It was damn, whatever it was, it didn't look too good. Well, it looked good on him, not on me. Pasadena on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Hey, what's up, Phil?
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I saw Kiss Winger.
Is this the Edge? I think this is Edge calling in. Hi, Phil.
Hello there, Phil.
Right, so you saw who?
I saw Kiss Winger and Slaughter up in Sacramento.
Uh-huh.
And it was about 10 years ago. They sucked. One of my buddies got hit in the eye, and he got knocked over. But
I thought Winger was a Christian band.
Well,
they're not? That's Stryper, yeah.
It was when they were popular. I was 16, and I didn't know any better, and I saw Kiss for the first time. They sucked. I didn't know any of their songs.
Well, you were 16, you didn't know any better. You were a Kiss fan. Phil Hendry Show. And we have a phone number here, 1-800-449-8686. The good calls get on the air. And what is that? You almost lost your life? Offspring. Because my producer, Schaefer, he still dives into a mosh pit occasionally, although he's a married man now. And same thing with Taylor. They're just too old. Well, with Taylor, you're still a kid, man. But these guys are all responsible now. They can't be, you know, wading headfirst into these slam dance circles and mosh pits. They can't be having fun anymore. Not too often, anyway. That's right. So you were at the Who concert at Riverfront, huh? That was you they were standing on? Mike was almost a casualty at one of these shows. Apparently, he fell to the ground, and they were moshing on top of him, and he was face down in the mud. And then he felt something strange in his lower... Then he felt someone tug his pants off, and the next thing you know... Here's Hollywood, Florida on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Phil?
Yeah?
Hey, I can tell you two places where... It's really who did the mixing of for the acoustics and all like that, and... Otherwise, they probably would have a decent concert.
In other words, who the sound guy thing was.
Right.
The sound guy thing.
Right, because remember the Hollywood Sportatorium? We saw Elton John there. The guy didn't do it right. And it's...
The Hollywood Sportatorium. Wow.
That old dump.
What a dump that was. There was a place there I could find my way up to the rafters. There was a little secret hiding spot.
Yeah.
It would just be me by myself, and I could enjoy myself away from the maddening crowd.
Yeah, can you believe that place was the reason we were trying to get the Buffalo Braves down here, basketball team? That's why you got the Lakers out there when they moved?
Oh, I see. The reason why we have the Lakers is because you didn't get the Buffalo Braves at the Hollywood Sportatorium?
Right.
What are you talking about?
Oh, because they were
Buffalo
the Braves.
You mean the Clippers?
Well,
not the Lakers.
The Braves.
The Braves became the Clippers, not the Lakers.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And well, so anyway, the Hollywood Sportatorium was an old barn in Hollywood, Florida, and they had all those shows there because it was the only venue, the indoor venue they had, wasn't it?
Yeah, basically, until they built the Miami Arena.
Now they got 48 arenas down there. There's Miami Arena. There's the Sunrise Arena.
Yeah,
there's the Jackie Gleason.
Right.
The Civic Auditorium. There's all kinds of places down there.
You used to play them at the Miami High Line. That one, too.
The Miami High Life Fronton?
Yeah, they used to have concerts there also.
The Dania Fronton?
Never there.
On the beach? Your house?
No.
All kinds of places now.
That's an MTV.
All right, man, thanks. So Genesis sucked, but we knew that. Here's Carlsbad on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Hi.
Hey, I got two. One, Billy Idol, I believe it was at the Forum, was so drunk, can't remember his words. And was
that's why he was, that was that, that's why he was terrible. You were drunk.
And the other one was when I was in the Navy out in
Pearl Harbor,
Texas.
Huh?
In
Texas.
Going.
So when you're in the Navy out there in Nebraska, yeah.
Well, it's Texas, Corpus Christi, and I was just going to a bar during a week, and this band was going to play, and it turns out they started playing, and it was the Byrds. Trying to do some little comeback thing at some dinky bar in Corpus Christi. I think that's where they're from.
Isn't that fun? No, the Byrds are actually from Los Angeles.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, but the members came from all over, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, they were, somehow, they had a lot of, they started to play, you know, tambourine and all that great songs, and actually they were really good, but then they went to a big Western kick, and the bar owner got pissed off at them and kicked them out.
You mean like that? Yeah, well, I would too.
But
actually,
hey! Really good, though.
Well, isn't it funny? Isn't that funny when you open up the paper or you'll be driving by a place and it'll say, you know, it'll be like Eddie's Hellhole, you know, drinks 15 cents and say, appearing tonight, Joe Cocker. So, not that Joe Cocker is doing that. Although there was a time when you could go, like, to some of these little bars and maybe Joe Cocker was playing. You know, some of these people that you thought were huge?
Right.
And then John Mayall is playing down at of course, it's a pretty good joint down San Juan Capistrano. What's the name of that place?
Oh, the,
Coach House?
Coach House.
Yeah, that's a pretty good joint. I mean, they have some fairly decent bands going through.
Right, they have actually a lot of big names. But I've heard Eddie Money playing at, you know, really dive places, too.
Well,
not that he was ever great. But...
He's doing fine.
Oh, okay, well, yeah. I don't know. But I just thought the Byrds was ironic that I saw him get kicked out. Didn't even expect him to be playing, but they actually sounded good.
So you didn't get kicked out of the bar. The Byrds did. That's great.
The Byrds did.
All right, man. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye. So the band was so lousy, you got to sit there at the bar, and the band got thrown out. So that Who thing in Riverfront, where the kids, the Who was so bad that night, they were running to get away from them. And that one kid got trampled at the door. That, oh, boy. Talking about the worst show you ever saw, 1-800-449-8686. This is good enough a topic for a Monday as we can make it. First hour topic for a Monday, because this past weekend was rough. I had to drink a lot of beer this week, and I'll tell you what happened. We had to get the satellite dish in because, see, my wife doesn't care about, and I did too, Craig. My wife doesn't care about television. Oh, wait a second. The Academy Awards are on this weekend, honey. We have to get one. Why do you guys watch TV? It's such a waste of time. It's the Academy Awards are on. Where do we get the dish? Where do we get the dish? So we went over to some great guys, and it's Saturday morning. And I went over, I said, I want to get a dish, I want to get it installed, and I want my service turned on all by tomorrow night. Do you know that these guys helped us out? Should I name the store, or is that a cheap plug? I better not. Otherwise, if I walk in there and they give me some free stuff, people think it's payola. Next thing you know, Craig Taylor goes to prison, because I'll never take the rap for it. But we went in there, and the guy sells me a Mitsubishi system, you know, whatever, I don't care. And I got a couple of boxes for the TV sets, and then we'll go and buy some more if we need them. And then he says, I got a guy that can install it for us. Sure enough, the guy comes out yesterday morning, put the dish, the side of the house there. Never mind, I can't access the panel where the breaker switches are now because we blew it. I put us all together in this big mistake so he won't feel bad. The guy mounted my satellite dish at a point on the side of the house. I can't open up the breaker box, all right? So if the fuses blow, if anything happens, for instance, I need to shut something down, I won't be able to do it. I'm going to have to tear my satellite dish out of the wall. But anyway, he got that thing hooked up, and by God, within an hour, we had service. Watching the Academy Awards last night with our brand spanking new DSS dish, our big Mitsubishi system, all within 48 hours. And then the kids got home and they go, TV! Man, they couldn't believe that we actually had television. So for about 5 seconds, they were just exploring the wonders and the glory of satellite till I came in and I threw it out of the window. I said, no, not tonight. I'm watching no TV tonight? So that was my weekend, and it was stressed out just waiting for this guy to do that. You know, I just don't trust anybody anymore. I don't trust people. After the whole washing machine thing, I don't know who's going to show up and who isn't going to show up, man. I mean, that carpeting that was destroyed in that room, I wanted to get that fixed. I wanted to have somebody, you know, don't you think people like making money, or am I wrong about that? Am I wrong when I think that people want to make a couple of dollars with their business? So I've been calling this one company that does carpeting for 2 weeks and got a call back from them. Would you come in and fix the carpeting in my house? I understand you're the guys that laid it originally. Please come and fix the carpeting in my house. Hello. Leave a message. Hi, I'm Phil Henry. This is my fifth call this week. Would you please call me back? Leave a message. Hi, it's Monday. This will be call number 6. Can I please have some human being? Does anybody work there? Leave a message. Hi, does anyone work there? You got voicemail? I got voicemail, which means I don't have a machine, which means when my friends call me and they go, hi, Yoo-hoo, Phil, pick up. It's me, Phil, pick up. It's voicemail. I don't hear it. I got it from PacBell. It's voicemail, which means you don't hear nothing. You hear the phone ring. You pick it up. There it is, okay? It's going off to some central downloading position where I can download it at some other position. And I'm getting, pick up, hello. Oh, well, screw you. I can't do it. So, yeah, so we got that. That worked out real good. I couldn't believe it. There's always going to be one screw-up, and the one screw-up in this job was he mounted it in the side of my house, and I can't open up a breaker panel. Okay, not a bad. As screw-ups go, the way my life's been going, not in bad. I mean, you got to keep in mind, I had a washing machine blow up twice. I almost drowned. My washing machine blew up. I almost drowned. That's how much water we had in the house. And I'm a good swimmer. I'm a damn good swimmer. My God. Anyway, so the washing machine. So you figure something's got to go wrong. Hey, this isn't such a bad screw up. If I really need to get into that breaker panel, if something's on fire, if I got to, for instance, let's say the house is on fire and I can't turn on my sprinkler system. And it turns out that it's a switch. I go down there. I rip the satellite dish out of the wall. I open it up and I turn the switch on. As simple as that. All I got to do is take a fire axe, rip it out of the wall, then go and have it restuccoed for about $6,000. It's great. Works out good. Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. So Craig's down on Venice Beach. He saw some. We're trying to figure out what these guys are. They're black guys wearing Stars of David, screaming at white folks that are walking by, and they wear camouflage, and they have a picture of Jesus that looks like it was run through a photocopier so that Jesus is black. In other words, you ever seen a black guy with just white, you know, I mean, a white guy with just black face? In other words, there's no nose, the nose, the lips, everything's white, except the black skin. So what's up with these guys? Who are they? Mike figures they're Black Panthers who can eat ham or so, or they can't eat ham, is that it? Black Panthers who can't eat ham. That's the name of their organization. And there was a group of them down on Venice Beach yesterday, these black guys with Stars of David's around their neck, wearing camouflage, screaming at some stoner, some sun-baked kid, high on, you know, some kind, you know, he probably was sniffing, what's that crap, that aerosol, that whipped cream aerosol? Probably doing Ready Whip, yeah, probably doing blasts of Ready Whip. What do they call that? Huffing, yeah. Huffing Ready Whip and glue, copped a beer, and they're screaming at this guy. I was reading this book by, now we're really getting obtuse, and you know what, I don't care. You got to understand something, I don't care. I talked about the Academy Awards. How relevant do you want me to be? Now we're off into books that I've read. One about Elijah Muhammad. Anyway, these FBI agents would try to infiltrate these Nation of Islam meetings, so they'd paint themselves black. They would paint themselves black. They'd go to some FBI makeup artist, and the guy would put on black, you know, they put on blackface on these guys. Like Al freaking Jolson. Like Ted Danson. And they try to infiltrate these meetings. So these real black folks are looking at these guys going, okay, well, what do you want? We're here to learn about Elijah Muhammad. Get out of here! You're freaking blackface. These guys, they think they're going to pass. Walking in there wearing makeup. No FBI agents were black back in the 1940s. So they had to take white guys and darken their skin up with pancake makeup. They didn't have any guy. So finally they wised up and they found there were some black NYPD cops, so they used them. They'd hire them. But they had no black FBI agents, so Hoover didn't believe in that, see, unless they were gay, and then, of course, he was sleeping with them. But they would they get into blackface. Imagine Al, remember that Al Jolson guy? He had the big white lips and the gloves. That's what they do. They'd wear white gloves and they try to get into these Nation of Islam meetings dressed like that. Hi. I'd like to learn a little bit more about Nation of Islam. I dare you. Oh man. You wouldn't live, but it'd be worth it just to, you know, I'd offer you the money anyway. I'd give it to your family. I'd give it to your estate, Mike. Hi, I'd like to take control of my my neighborhood. So that was that, man. So these guys were down on the beach, scaring everybody? Oh, well, don't let it bother you. Just move out of Venice, okay? I'd like to take back the streets in blackface. Which is, in other words, so if the shoe was on the other foot and you wanted to get some black guys into a white organization, let's say the Klan needed to be infiltrated. We had no white FBI agents. All we had were black. What do? You put them in, you put, like, powder on their face? You'd have to take a black guy and you put white, like, cold cream on his face, like clown makeup. You know how realistic that looks. Those clowns, they have that white clown makeup and a big red nose, and send the guy into a Klan meeting looking like that with a big bozo fright wig. Hi, I'm white, and sure you are. Come on in. Well, the Klan, they'd probably fool those guys. Who do you think's smarter, Nation of Islam or the Klan? I go with Nation of Islam. I don't know. It's the Klan, I think you could go in looking like Chucko the freaking clown, and they'd probably elect your Grand Imperial Wizard within a week. God, so that was how bright they were back in those days. Not too. Anyway, so this is what you saw out there in the street. I never go to Venice, all right? I don't like that exhibitionism. I don't like that rollerblading exhibition. What are you doing skating around there anyway, okay? Just skate to and from work, man. I'll be skating down there. Skating around there, getting hassled on the street there by these nuts, nutcases. Everybody with a new religion. The coming religion is the UFO thing. That's the religion. If anything's going to replace Jesus, it's going to be some cat from Mars. That roller skating, guitar playing, freaked out looking guy down there. He's pretty cool, though, huh? Plays guitar, roller skates. And then there's the other coast. There's South Beach. Oh, God. So that's what these guys were doing down there, huh? You can't hang out there anymore. God, I'm glad we went to the burbs. I'm glad I moved away from all of the weirdos, especially after walking out of that Boys Don't Cry. And I'm about as... Now, you think that Venice is weird. You ought to see this movie and go down to Lincoln, Nebraska sometime. Just take yourself a little trip. Oh, man, did you see this thing, Craig? Oh, it's just unbelievable. They're living in trailers, and they're just dumb as hell. Just as stupid as can be. And here in the middle of this falls this girl who wants to be a guy. So she's just walking around, and they're doing some dumbass thing called dirt surfing or dirt skiing, where they hold onto the back of the truck and they ski around on dirt. In other words, it's cops, exactly. Why is it the cops are skewed more in that white trash direction and not enough? And a friend of mine made a very good observation. I think we've made this observation before. If you see a white guy on Cops and he's arrested by the cops, he's generally crying.
Maybe. You gotta come go my bail. Yeah, honey, I'm sorry. They found the crack factory. I had a meth lab. I'm sorry, baby. Come pick me up.
And when they bust the black guy, he's like, what do you want, man? Huh? Screw you, man. You know, everything, beep, 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 you know. I don't give a damn. They're all pissed. They're all very defiant. You know, like, yeah, I ain't getting in there. Up yours. The black guy's always pissed and mad. He's confrontational. Yeah, screw you, you know, everything. And the white guy's like, with his shirt off. Wear a shirt. One episode of Cops, everybody wears a shirt. Just once a season. I'd love to see that, all right? Everybody wears a shirt this episode. Kansas City, Missouri. I'm rolling to a domestic violence. This is South Kansas City. We generally have these problems. Probably a guy with a salad fork in his thorax. He'll come running out of the house with like a ballpoint pen hanging out of his ear or something. She tried to give him a lobotomy. I don't know with what, a barbecue fork. And the guy comes running out. He's very calm. He has a barbecue fork hanging out of his ear. And he's, yeah, she's pissed. No doubt about it. I guess you guys got to get in there. And when did you get the barbecue fork in your brain? It's about a half hour ago. She just shoved it right in there. Now, I got nothing in there, so it doesn't not necessarily hurting me, but my baby's in there. Better get in there. Okay. Guy comes running out with a barbecue fork hanging out of his ear while he's having a beer. He's still drinking the beer. He's been shot, and he's still drinking a beer. He's been shot 6 times, and he's still smoking a cigarette. Can I just come outside? Why don't you come outside and have a cigarette? Okay. He's smoking his Marlboro cigarette. And he's got that beer while he's talking to the cops, and he's been shot 4 times with a barbecue fork hanging out of his skull. I don't know. I can't do nothing with her. I just, have a good night, sir. You bet. He goes in the house, and he can't get in because the fork hits the door, and it's bad.